This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're going to be here until 11 o'clock, helping you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And we have a favor to ask. I forgot to tell Dennis I was going to ask this.
Yeah.
It's a miracle on ice moment for us. We're going to try to be part of the Best of Connecticut.
Okay.
And Dennis and I are amateurs, unpaid amateurs. And we've been doing this. I've been doing this for 30 years. And the Hartford Courant's got this Best of. And so you can vote for us, if you want, as one of the best radio programs in the state. But we're going up against paid professionals, Dennis.
Really?
Yes. So, we're going up against Brian and company, right? These are real shows.
And they're real professionals, right?
Exactly. Right. Whereas we're rank amateurs, unpaid, just a couple of pasty white computer geeks sitting here in this studio doing what we can. But we'd love it if you could. It'd be our miracle and ice moment if we won. And I'm not holding my breath, but neither were those skaters back in the 80s.
So, that's true. And I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that.
So if you guys would like to help us, we'll put a link up to the Hartford Courant Best of. You have until March 23rd to vote. You have to, it's a whole process. You got to register and, choose your best radio show, and then you can do other choices as well. But
there's a whole raft of stuff.
Yeah, and you can actually win for a contest, I guess, too. But for us, it's just bragging rights if we could ever pull this off. But we're not holding our breath. But we figured we'd ask nicely and see what happens. So keep us in mind, and we'll put a link up there over at computertalkwithtab.com. So. As usual and customary, though, Dennis, we have some technology news that people can use, we hope.
Yeah, we do. We have news about that Microsoft just released.
Right.
About a product that was cutting edge at one time.
Yeah.
It was used by almost everybody that was on the internet at that time.
It was very cool.
It's called Skype.
No one understood the name.
Skype.
Yes.
And yeah, you're right. The name, it's like meaningless.
Yeah. And they didn't even do it. They didn't make the product. They bought it from someone else.
Well, Microsoft bought it from the people that originated. But before that, it was very common.
Yeah.
A lot of people were using it all over the place, all the time.
Yeah.
I know I used it to communicate with my nieces when they were in college.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, when one of them was on deployment in the Navy, we used it to speak with her.
While she was on deployment?
Yes.
Clearly the Navy didn't have any good security.
They actually let her have a little bit of internet time on that destroyer.
Really?
Once in a while.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now you got Fitbits out there and everybody knows where they're located.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So, yeah, you used it for that. That's cool. I mean, I can't even remember. I think we did maybe use it occasionally to talk to the in-laws who were out of state. Maybe. Because it wasn't the easiest thing to get going. You know, you needed a good internet connection. And back in the early 2000s, we didn't really have good internet connection.
That is true.
Especially here in Connecticut.
That was limited. But even back in dial-up day, I remember being able to make it work.
You did it via BOD?
Well, no. You know what? It wouldn't have been dial-up. No.
Okay.
It would have been after. It would have been broadband. But it would have been, 5 megabit.
Right.
Down broadband.
So what'd they do to it? Were they just
they're replacing it with Teams.
Okay.
And I'm not sure what your feelings are about Teams, but...
It can be good. It can be bad. It depends.
Well, if you compare it with other similar products like Zoom.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I agree.
Zoom's sorry.
Superior.
And just today, we were using it here and we find a glitch with how it arranges the different threads of discussion.
Right.
In the chat panel.
Right, because we're working with Mike G, who posts everything.
And we have every week we have a thread that we have all our links and stuff in, and Mike G will weigh in on something that he thinks we should say.
Yeah.
And all of that, and it's great, but the way those threads are sorted gets jumbled, and you can literally miss stuff.
Yeah. It's as if they don't understand how a calendar works.
Yeah.
Right.
100%.
It is frustrating. But that's Microsoft for you. We've all gotten to the point where it's like, it sort of works.
we'll just have to live with it, right? Yeah.
Yes. And we spend all of our time protecting our customers from Microsoft. You may as well. What do you want? A great product too? It's okay. It's okay. So Skype is dead.
Well, it will be.
Yeah.
Later this year.
All right. So get moved over is what they're saying. That's what they're saying. Eventually you're going to have to be on Teams or find another alternative, which Zoom is a good alternative too.
It is.
I saw this in the news recently. U.S. Mineral Company says crooks broke into their email and helped themselves to $500,000.
What?
Yeah, yeah. It's a NASDAQ-listed U.S. minerals company. Said cyber criminals broke into the system on Valentine's Day. I hate that.
Oh.
And paid themselves $500,000 earmarked for another vendor. So this is invoice heist, right? This is email.
Yeah, you have to pay this invoice, but we've got a new bank. We've got a new bank account number to send it to.
Right.
Yeah.
And they got in there and were able to redirect the payment. So this is a very common way the bad guys, it's really not hard work. They've, they figured out your email password, right? Because you're at such and such company as the CEO or whatever. And you use the password of ice cream on another website. And they're like, I wonder if Bob, the CFO, is using the same password for his email. Ah, voila. Oh, and Bob doesn't have any two-factor running either. So now I'm in as Bob, and I'm reading his emails, right? And when I get an email back and forth, hey, where should we send the money, Bob? Bob says, send it over here. The bad guys change it and say, send it over here.
Right.
And very easy scam for the bad guys to make money because once it's moved, it's hard to get it back.
Right.
ACH payments, they usually go one way, although we've had examples where they undo it or they duplicate it, which is also not supposed to happen.
Well, we also have heard reports of law enforcement intervening and then having things reversed.
Yeah.
But that usually takes the feds.
A while. Yeah, yeah, too.
And yeah, it's not quick.
So basically... the company, I think, is NioCorp, and they were, despite being in a somewhat healthy financial position due to extended funding, $500,000 loss is definitely far from ideal. You don't want to have money just leave your bank account. So make sure the moral of the story is make sure your email systems are secure, two-factor authentication, your passwords are difficult, because this is a NASDAQ-listed company who had this happen to them, right? It means obviously means they are not doing what you should be doing. And they had the business email compromised. So we'll put a link up here for you guys to read what's going on here. You should pay attention to it. And if you think small businesses are immune, you're sadly mistaken.
No.
And most owners of the small businesses are the biggest risks in the companies because they don't think they're a target.
Right. They think they're too small to have anybody pay attention.
Right.
So who's going to come after me?
Right. And so they don't invest in the basic cybersecurity technologies that are out there from companies like us, or if you do it on your own. No one said you had to do it through a company like us. But the point is, you are a target, and it's not usually your people, it's you, because you think you're immune, or you think you're smarter than everybody, or you think you're not going to be fooled. We all are human, and these bad guys send these very convincing scams. Dennis has one he's going to bring up now
could
easily scam you.
Yeah, this one comes from PayPal.
Yep.
PayPal has a gift address feature.
Yes,
where you can add, someone else's email address to a PayPal account.
Yeah.
Now, there's a way that you can generate a notice that an email address has been added to an account.
Yep.
And there are different fields in a form that gets filled out online.
Right.
By, in this case, the scammer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out that there's no validation for some of those fields.
Mm-hmm.
So people can literally type in anything, any long string of data. And what scammers are doing is sending these notices out to people through PayPal,
because they have an account themselves.
It's PayPal that's emailing you, so you think it's legitimate,
right?
But in the text of that message, you're going to see some kind of a notification say that an order is backlogged.
Yes, and, of something you never ordered.
Right, something you never ordered, and call this phone number to cancel it or something.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's the scam. They want you to call the phone number.
Right.
And there's no, like I said, there's no checking on the form fields so that PayPal doesn't stop this.
Right.
And really, all they got to do is put some validation or even just limit the number of characters in a field.
Yeah.
And just make it impossible to put a message that long in there. But, they don't think about it.
No. And they haven't fixed it yet, right?
No, they have not.
Right.
So these things are going out right now.
Right.
And you might have one in your mailbox, and you're going to see it.
Right.
And you're going to think something funny. Don't call. Right. Never call the phone number.
So, again, I'll always say that most of these companies, I can't think of one that cares about you.
They don't.
They'll never send an email or anything ever. But unfortunately, there's companies that are sending emails and are asking you to react to them. But in this case, just assume, be the most cynical person. You're like, PayPal doesn't care about me. Call the number yourself, not the number on the email.
No.
Go find PayPal.com.
Or call whoever. See, PayPal's the payment method.
Right.
The order that's in question is probably somewhere else.
Which is fake anyway.
Fake anyway. But whatever company is named in there, that is the company that you call. But you look up their number independently of the email.
Yeah, you just can't trust anything. You got to be cynical. When you get anything via email or text, text is just as bad. Same type of things are occurring. You got to assume just because Easy Pass says you have a problem with your payment, do not trust it. Go and log in to your account on your own without taking whatever text you got and see what's going on. And I would even tell you to block that text you got because that's a fake number. It's not going to help a lot, but you can do that.
Yeah, and sometimes I'll hear consumer reporters say things about scams like this, saying, look for the little lock on the web browser and make sure there's HTTPS.
Yeah.
In this case, that doesn't do anything.
And the scammers
It's going to have HTTPS. Right, and the scammers can even set up websites with that.
Right.
And that doesn't tell you anything anymore. Maybe 10 years ago, it mattered.
Yeah, because the scammers didn't want to drop $100 on
the cert. They didn't want to. Yeah. But now they will because they can more than make up for it.
Yeah.
So, come on. Let's be real. Let's think about what you're looking at.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you have to be on your guard at all times.
And the sad part is this is coming from PayPal, a legitimate PayPal email address.
Yep.
And so the scammers are leveraging a flaw at PayPal to scam you. All right, so we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. I'm not sure what the difference is today versus last week, but you guys were flooding us last week.
I know, we got plenty of calls.
Four lines wide open right now. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842. Maybe you're all doing your taxes. I understand. you got the TurboTax app up and you're like, I can't figure this out. I understand, but if you need any help, we're here to help you, not with your taxes. 860-522-9842 is the number, and everything we've talked about is posted over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. Even the link so that you can actually vote for us and have our Miracle on Ice moment where a couple of rank amateurs take down the big boys of media, where we actually possibly could win if you guys vote for us. It'd be really great. It'd be fun. And Brian would never let me live it down. But it would be fun for that to happen. So please vote for us. We'll be right back. All right. We are back. And you guys are starting to call in. We appreciate that. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we're here till 11 o'clock. So we'll do our best to help you out. We got a call in from John out there in Guilford. He wants to talk about TurboTax. Hey, John. What's up?
Yeah, you guys mentioned TurboTax, and I was doing my taxes and my kids' taxes.
Yep.
And TurboTax just drives me insane because you pay for it, then you pay for each state module.
Yeah.
And then you go to file your state taxes, and they're like, hey, let's make it convenient for you and the state and us, and we're going to charge you an extra $25 to file online.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah.
It does feel that way. I watch my sons doing it, too.
And I wanted to mention that, like, I went through and I was doing one of my kids' taxes for New York State, paid for that extra module. New York State has made it illegal for tax preparation software, if you pay for the state modules, to charge incrementally to file online.
Ooh.
Oh.
Interesting.
And I would love if, you know, you guys are up in Hartford, you know, let's start a campaign to save everybody $20, $25 when they're already paying $40 for the state, right? I mean...
Yeah.
Just figured I'd mention it. I don't know if everybody's run across that, but it is. It just feels like, you know, like death by a thousand cuts when we're dealing with tax preparation software. So.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. It is. The old days, you'd buy the CD.
Right. You'd stick it in. You'd run it.
You get an update on the version of the taxes.
Right.
That
yeah, it would open up the modem and dial up and get the update.
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't it be nice if we just had a flat tax and called it a day?
Mm.
Yeah, it would be wonderful. But I guess incrementally, it'd be cool if we in Connecticut could maybe take advantage of something other people are doing to push back, like New York State. So
I agree. I don't know that our legislatures they can't figure out how electricity works. I doubt they understand how taxes work. They're still charging us a luxury tax rate on our rotisserie chickens, right?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
So
that's
yeah,
crazy.
It's seven.
Rotisserie chickens ought to cost $30 a piece, as far as I can figure. I don't know why they're so cheap.
They're loss leaders. They're loss leaders to get you in, but the tax rate on them is luxury level. it's welcome to Connecticut, man.
Yeah, it's first world problems, I guess.
Yeah.
But anyway, well, thanks for being on the radio. Hope you guys have a great day.
Yeah, you too, John. Thank you for calling.
Yep.
All right, bye bye. Yeah, no, he's not wrong. It does. I mean, helping my son. I hate taxes. I have somebody do mine because it just makes me mad. I pay every penny. Don't get me wrong. I probably pay more than I should. But watching my sons do theirs, because they're like, all right, Dad, can you at least be here while we do it? It's like having, you know, fingernails on a chalkboard for me, and just seeing what they go through, the fee they have to pay, and then they get whacked for paying on top of it. And it's just. And of course, TurboTax is saying, well, look how easy this was. And you had to give all your information, right? You've got all your login information to all your accounts that you've set up.
Oh.
Right? They actually do that interfacing, right?
Oh, okay.
And that makes me nervous for them.
Oh, yeah. I can see why.
Yeah. But they, you know, he's right. It's cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. Wouldn't it be nice for a lawmaker to say, you can't charge? But all they're going to do is put the fee on the main fee. It's not like you're going to get around the fee. They're just going to put it somewhere else.
Yeah.
All right, guys, your lines are definitely ringing. We appreciate that. Joe and Dan, hang on. And if you want to help us with our Miracle on Ice situation here, Hartford Current's got a best of. And if you go to Radio Personalities, you'll see Computer Talk with Tab is there. And if you vote for us, a couple of rank amateurs going up against the big media here in Connecticut, it would be great if we won. It would be awesome.
Yep.
We got 30 years of doing this. Well, we promise we'll not ask again. It would just be great to do it once. So if you guys have some time and you want to fill out that survey, we'd greatly appreciate it. It would be a great thing for Carolyn's resume that she was on a show like that. So help Carolyn out by voting for us. We'll be right back. A little YYZ this morning. We appreciate that. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Two lines open for you. We had a caller who didn't want to stand in line, and I guess you may have seen these videos. Dennis says he hasn't, but I've seen a few in my feed where it's the scammers that are getting hacked by white hat hackers. They basically have hacked into the video feeds of these call centers, the scammer call centers, the Windows call centers. And I've seen these. Now, they could be real. They may not be real, right? I don't even know if it's true. So part of me is wondering if it's even true, but it could be. I'm gonna give the benefit of the doubt that it is true. And the caller was like, hey, how do we do this? And I'll tell you, don't be working on ways to hack or scam the hackers, because those guys have a lot of time on their hands. And if you do cause a problem for them and they figure out it's you, they can make your life a living hell if they wanted to. A lot of these scams, believe it or not, are run by companies in India. Right. These are organizations where you actually have sick time, you get benefits, you know, you're able to go and have a vacation to pay. So, you know, those types of companies have plenty of time and energy if they wanted to go after you. But the hackers are actually sending viruses back over and then filming or showing what's happening to the call center when they bring down all their systems, which is actually kind of fun to see if it's real.
Yeah.
But don't do that. Don't mess with the dark web. Stay away from it. It's not worth figuring out how to do this unless you're a really skilled person and you have a separate air-gapped computer that's literally designed to be very smartly hidden on the internet so that you can do this type of work.
I was going to say there's a lot that you have to do in order to accomplish that.
Yeah. So don't mess with it. But yeah. I do enjoy those videos too. I really hope they are real. And I applaud the white hat hackers that are doing this to these scammers. So I guess it can make you feel better. You're living vicariously through the hacker. Let's go to Joe in Berlin. Hey, Joe, what's up?
Good morning.
Morning.
I wanted to thank you for your advice a couple weeks ago about Outlook. And
great.
Yeah, I found Outlook Classic again. Thank you.
Excellent.
Isn't that crazy?
And then the previous call that was talking about paying the TurboTax for state returns.
Yeah.
I skip that. I go directly to the state and file online. I do my returns in TurboTax, mm-hmm. just print it out, and then type in the numbers in the state return system.
Gotcha. So you have to transpose. You got to go over and read your return and then type it in and fill it in?
Yeah. And it's, you know, there's not that many numbers. You know, it's only a couple pages. So it's real easy. I've never paid the TurboTax for the filing the state return.
No, I understand. It's annoying, though, right? You've already paid for the preparation of your taxes. You now have to put the pages in front of you, and then you got to go to the state system and type it in. And what happens if you make a mistake? Guess what? They're going to tell you made a mistake.
Right, and it's on you.
Right, and you paid somebody to – it's just cheesy, right? Yeah. This shouldn't be the way it works, you know?
Right.
But,
and it also, this version, this year's TurboTax, the interface is really – I do not like.
Oh. Yeah,
it's a pain trying to fill in some of the investment stuff.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. Yeah, or you have to make actually connect the investment. And do you do that or do you not do that?
Well, yes, I download. But what it is in the past you could see the category. Let's say interest. Mm-hmm. You know, have like 5 or 6 different places. Well, you can't see the name. It's just, it's like the bank account. I have 3 accounts.
Yep.
So which one's which,
Yeah.
Get off TurboTax. I guess the questions I got.
All right.
Can I link my desktop to my TV?
Yes.
There's a program that I like to watch, but I don't get it on the internet. I can't seem to find it using the NVIDIA Shield to watch the program.
So it's a browser. It's a browser you use on your computer that you then browse to and watch that way.
Yeah.
There is a free browser program out there that you can use with NVIDIA Shield. Forgive me, I don't remember the name of it. That does work. It's a little kludgy to try to browse with the Shield remote. But to answer your question originally, how far away is your computer from your TV?
The program I'm not watching it. I'll listen to it. 20 feet.
Okay. So what you need to do, though, is you got to get an HDMI connection from your computer to your TV monitor if it has a second HDMI connection, and you got to run a 20-foot HDMI cord between the two, and so you'll turn your TV into a second monitor. The audio pass. The audio should pass over the HDMI cable as well, and that would be a way to do it. Unfortunately, you really can't Chromecast some of these things. Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't, depending on what's out there, but there's even some wireless ways to transmit HDMI that you could mess with. But the easiest way would be to get the browser right from the NVIDIA Google Play Store and just run the browser on your streamer and then go ahead over to the site, www whatever, and play it that way.
Oh, okay. The next question... I heard you a couple of weeks ago says setting up your own domain and then you can get separate emails and stuff.
Yes, sir. You could be Joe at your last name.
What?
You could be Joe at your last name rather than Joe at Hotmail or Comcast or whatever it is.
Yeah, I've got Comcast. I'm trying to get it so that away from Comcast.
Right. Yep.
Post something of how to do that and then set up the emails?
The emails you're going to set up through Proton.
Okay.
But you need to get a domain. So you have to go, this is really easy. You have to go to like GoDaddy, right? You can go to the DNS lookup and put in whatever you want to be at. Now, if your last name happens to be Smith, you're going to have more trouble. You're going to be at Smith. And then a bunch of numbers. Maybe you do at Smith and your street address, or at Smith at some sort of. But if if your last name is like the mayor of Hartford's, who I can't pronounce, you might have a chance to be at that last name, because there probably are less people that have done that. So that's really all you do: DNS lookup, and then if you find what it is, you pay for it. And I would tell you to pay for it for at least 5 years, and it might cost you a couple $100 to lock in that domain name. And you have to renew it, right? You have to renew where you're at, believe it or not.
Okay.
And then you go to Proton, and they will give you instructions as to how to set up the DKIM and all the nice security that goes along with having this. And then you'll have a login for your Proton, and you'll have a separate email address for your Proton, which is also more secure. And it's encrypted, point-to-point. Proton can't do anything about it, no matter how much the UK demands it. They would have to stop allowing the email box to exist in the UK for what they're trying to do for encrypted communications. So,
okay, and then next question, routers.
Yep.
Comcast says, I've got an email saying to upgrade the modem and router to get faster speed and stuff like that. Plus, what I have is about 6 years old. So is there a recommendation for that hardware?
Well, I mean, Dennis and I have talked about this a lot. I mean, what do you think, Dennis? What would your best recommendation be?
Well, I would get a separate modem and router/gateway.
Yeah, what I plan to do.
Yeah, all right. Well, that would be first. I would do a lookup on whatever Comcast allows you to get for a modem, because not every modem will work on their network.
Right.
And they will have a web page telling you what you can get. I think also you can go to Amazon, and I think you can do a lookup in there. It will give you a little wizard that tells you what's available that is good for Comcast. The other thing is you want to get a nice, what's called AX or Wi-Fi 6.
Wi-Fi 6, yeah.
Router. And there's a lot of them out there. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of them.
We like. I like Linksys.
Yeah, those are good.
What else do you like?
I used to like TP-Link Archer.
Not anymore, though, right?
No.
Security issues.
Yeah. They end-of-lifed a lot of their routers rather early.
Yeah.
And they're not going to get updated, and that's not right.
So.
Yeah. Well, right now I have Netgear.
That's a good one, too.
Netgear is good.
Okay. And I heard you talk a little bit about Malwarebytes.
Mm-hmm.
Should I keep it or get rid of it?
I'd tell you to get rid of it and just use Defender with OpenDNS. I was just at a fire pit last night, and I gave the exact same advice to that person. Just running Defender and OpenDNS has worked for my family, and I have had three boys go through our house, and with zero incidents, that's saying something.
Okay.
So you can do it. You only would get Malwarebytes if you want to use it for remediation if somehow you did get malware. But if you do those two combinations, a good web filter, which is OpenDNS, it's free. It'll keep you off the dark areas of the internet by default. And everybody who comes into your home, if you configure it on your router, you protect all their surfing.
Okay.
And then just a built-in Defender, you're going to be good, Joe.
Okay.
All right, sir.
I thank you very much.
My pleasure.
And have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye. All right, we're going to step out for a quick break. Gary, please hang on. Three lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll be right back.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Two lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. And like I promised, we're going to go to Gary, who's been online the longest in Weathersfield. What's going on, Gary?
Good morning.
Morning.
I've got a Windows 11 laptop. I recently did the update, the Windows update, and I seem to have lost connectivity to my network share folders. When I try to, they show up in the File Explorer. When I click on it, it says, Windows cannot access this particular share. Check the spelling of the name. Otherwise, there may be problems, other problems. And I click on diagnose, and it doesn't do anything.
So are you running a network share within a business, or just your home?
No, just my home.
What are the devices? What levels of OS are on the other devices?
Well, one is just a network NAS, my cloud.
Oh.
That's, my cloud.
That should be straightforward.
Yeah.
My cloud from
Western right.
Digital.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Yeah, it shows up in the list.
But it's X'd out.
It says it. No, it's not even X'd out.
So it's green?
You're right. It is X'd out.
Okay.
Yes.
I was going to say, you're going to start messing with us. All right, so it's X'd out. You can't see it. Are you sure it's on?
Yes. My desktop, which is hardwired, is connecting to it, no problem.
All right. Windows 11 shouldn't do anything about that. It was just an update. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say there should be a management tool that you can get from Western Digital to check the status of the drive itself and see what's going on with it.
Well, it seems to be working with my desktop.
Oh.
I can access it through my desktop, which is a hardwired connection. I checked the advanced settings on the laptop for auto discovery or network discovery, and that is indeed turned on.
Is the network listed as private or public, the Wi-Fi network on the laptop?
It was private.
All right. What I very frequently see, just for reference for everybody, is where you have a private Wi-Fi network on a laptop typically, and then suddenly you wake up one day and it's listed as public because Microsoft decided that it's not going to tolerate you having a private network anymore.
Right.
Because you can't have that. Okay. And then you just have to turn that on and it usually helps things work better.
The other thing to check also is make sure SMB 1.0 is enabled on your computer. This is an issue that does happen on this update.
Okay, I did do the public. No, I don't know. Should I reboot after I...
Always reboot after you make changes, okay.
Yep. And where would I find the second suggestion you made?
The SMB one?
We can post an article about how to do it. And that will involve a reboot 90% of the time.
Right.
Okay.
And then the last one is also check your firmware on your MyCloud. That's another thing to possibly update. But
yeah, I did do an update on it. Coincidentally, I did an update on it. Maybe even before... this happened. And that's why I was wondering if it was a Windows update that had turned something on.
Windows update could certainly disrupt file sharing on the computer. Yeah, no question. But we'll post an article about turning on SMB1.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yep. Yeah, you got it.
Have a good day.
Yeah, you too, Gary.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah, but the thing about those, right, it's Windows 10 to Windows 11, and now you're losing resources.
Yeah, I mean...
That's Microsoft.
Happens all the time.
Right. It shouldn't be the case.
It shouldn't. That's right. It should not happen, but it does all the time.
And without it happening, Dennis and I wouldn't have a job. But that's not what we got into the business to do. We did not get into the business, right, to turn back on something that was already working. We didn't. We got in the business to try to help with performance, improving connectivity. You know, the whole thing about the caller saying he takes his TurboTax and then manually retypes it in to the state, right? That's not how technology is supposed to work. You know, this poor guy does an update and then a feature and function, a simple map drive stops working.
Yeah.
Microsoft's supposed to be smart enough to tell you whether or not you can update to Windows 11, but it's not smart enough to know that you should make sure SMB 1.0 is enabled. I mean... It doesn't know that the network drives were there and it's not there now. You know what it doesn't even say? It doesn't even say, we're sorry, our update caused a problem for you. It looks like you no longer can see the resources you have on your network, which is like the key and the point to having a computer in the first place is to be able to see the resources on the network. But Microsoft doesn't care. They update and they don't even apologize. Sorry, user, you no longer have access to your system resources because we updated you.
Well,
that's crazy to me.
The whole thing that I mentioned where an update will cause networks to go public is intentional by Microsoft.
Yeah, I know.
They are trying to look out for your security.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really nice that they have this feature in Windows that you can set a network as public and it will just tunnel out to the internet and not talk to anything else on that network.
Right.
But it's great. Stop turning that on when I don't want it.
Well, what are the odds, Dennis? What are the odds that you're going to set up a brand new computer at an airport? Right? Is this new network that you're... That's literally what they're saying. Is this a public network? Have you decided to buy a laptop from Best Buy and go to an airport to set it up? Is what they're saying. The default should be it's private and turn it on public.
You're right.
Right, but that's not what they do. Right? Is this
or it should just stop and ask you?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you in a public place or are you at home or at work?
Right. Did you decide to set your laptop up for the first time in an airport? I mean, come on, Microsoft. Really? Talk about artificial intelligence. Crying out loud. All right. Let's go to Frank in Bristol real quick here. What's going on, Frank?
How you doing?
Okay. How are you?
Yeah, this has been an ongoing issue for me.
Mm.
I had to replace my computer last year.
because of course it's Windows 11 now.
Yep.
And now I can no longer access any of the music on my iPod to put new music on it. And I, even when I plug my iPod in and I, my iTunes is on here and stuff, it just, it will never show any of the music. It'll show all the pictures and stuff, but it's so stupid.
I think I know why that happened, and you can't blame Microsoft for this.
Oh, it's an Apple thing?
It's an Apple decision. The iTunes software for Windows that they used to have that would talk to
the devices
and then sync them up and handle music and video and all that other, and podcasts and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That no longer exists.
Oh.
You can't install it anymore. What they do have is an app called Apple Music. And it's an app that you get from the Microsoft Windows Store. You don't even download it from Apple. I mean, I'm sure somewhere on Apple's website there's a link to it.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're still getting it from the Microsoft Store, okay? And that's all that it does. It just collects up the music.
Hmm.
But the syncing features are not fully implemented. This is a product that they are still working on.
In the year 2025.
I've got it at home on one of my computers, and it's garbage.
Doesn't work. It doesn't work.
But I can't go get the proper iTunes for Windows that used to exist. At least I can go to a third party website and get it, but I'm not doing that.
No.
And I don't recommend anybody else do it.
What do you want to do, Frank?
All I want to do is get some of the music off so I don't lose it. Not even all. Most of my CDs I kept. I never got rid of anything like that.
Yeah. You just don't have a CD player anymore.
Well, I still run them, but... But I like to... I don't want to use a phone. I have music. You know, we all have music that we have that you just don't get anywhere else.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. So we want to find a way to get that music onto your iPad, but you're still stuck in the Apple ecosphere. I don't know
More concerned with getting it off of it and put it on my computer, and I'll put it on something else.
There might be a way to do that. We're going to research that, and if we can find a way, we're going to post an article.
All right, Frank.
Yeah, because I had to download a few things back in the years that you couldn't get an album for.
I hear you.
I have no way to access it now.
I hear you. We'll try to find an article for you coming up against the hard break. I hope that helps.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you, Frank. We'll be right back. This is Computer Talk. We're here till 11 o'clock. Three lines open for you.